Now, I'm using what Pastor Cole just said a few minutes ago when he talked to us in back. He said, don't be nervous, make them nervous. I want you guys to be nervous. It'll help me. Yeah, make sure you guys all come out to hear Brother Morrison. If I had a wireless mic, I was going to go Brother Morrison style and walk around up and down the aisles and sit on the chair and shake it. I'm looking forward to that. I think these chairs will be destroyed by the first few days of missions conference. So just come out for that at least, I guess. I don't know. All right, if you would, turn your Bibles to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, very familiar verse. Tim's going to need to get some new water. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. I'm going to read verse 3 again, very familiar verse. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. I want to talk about a little bit about God's holiness. And I want you to see some things that Isaiah experienced after he saw the Lord. After he saw that Lord that's holy, holy, holy. We hear it all the time. We hear that God's holy, but it has no effect on our lives. That wasn't the case for Isaiah. God's holiness had a great impact in his life. Now, I think it'd be fair to say that one of the most righteous men during his time was Isaiah. But there's some things he said. Woe is me, for I am undone. After he saw the Lord, he was able to say that. A lot of us think we're so righteous, but yet some of us may not have experienced the glory of God. Maybe we've really never seen God for ourselves. I'm not talking about literally seeing him. But maybe you just don't realize who he is. Maybe you don't realize how holy he is. God doesn't just tell us in his word that he's holy and expect you to put it off to the side. It is very important. Now, yes, many of you know me just as a goofy kid around the church, I guess. But I hope that you guys don't just listen to me and listen to Tim just as something that's cute. Oh, wow, they're up there. They're teens. Look at, they're growing up. We both have something God wants to say through us. I really encourage you, listen to the Lord. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Isaiah's meeting with the Lord changed him. Now, verse 3, it says, holy, holy, holy. What does holiness mean? Holiness means that you're completely separate from sin. Now, when we were here, last Friday or Friday before that, I don't know. Two Fridays ago, we had our youth rally. And something the Lord showed me a while ago was how God doesn't want us to mix things of the world with holy things. They don't mix. Because God wants stuff that's completely holy. He wants our praise, he wants our worship to be completely set apart. He doesn't even want it to touch sin. Because God loves something. He loves holiness. When you're in God's presence, many of us think that God's just, I said this to my friends before if I'm talking about God's holiness. A lot of us think God's just our homeboy. We think he's just someone who doesn't care about what we do. He just thinks, okay, as long as you're safe, live how you want to. No. That's not the case. When you're in God's presence, when you pray, you can't just go before God just how you want to. One thing I've learned from the book of Leviticus is you have to come to God on God's terms. And those terms are holiness. You don't just sin and act the way you want to and then go before God's holy throne how you want to. No, God's holy and he takes it seriously. But many of us don't realize that. God's holiness is what sets him apart. Think of all the other religions. They're gods. People who lived on this earth, they were sinners. But praise the Lord, our God's holy. He's perfect. You can't find one thing wrong with him. He's never done anything wrong. Jesus Christ came here. The Bible said he was tempted just as we were, yet without sin. He's perfect. Habakkuk 1:13. I came across this in my reading. It says, thou art of pure eyes then to behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. Can't not look. He can't behold evil. Now, we compromise, but God does not compromise on his holiness. God doesn't look down and say, oh, they sinned, but I'm going to let it go. No. You sin, God can't even look on it. He can't even behold it. He's separate from it. He hates our sin. But we don't realize that. We don't put God where he should be. We don't separate God and put him up there as a completely holy one. We don't do that. We bring him down to our terms. Yeah, he loves us. He wants to help us. He's there for us, but it doesn't mean he's going to compromise. He's just too holy to even look on our sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. There's a penalty for sin. Because God's holy, he's got to do something with our sin. When you were saved, when you heard the gospel message, why can't we go to heaven? Because God's holy and we're sinners. We can't be in his presence. He takes his holiness seriously. Now the tracts that we pass out, the ones that say unbeatable, money back guarantee, I don't know, satisfaction guaranteed, we hand them to people, and one of the first things it says is, God is holy. And guess what? Most of them read that, and they just laugh. Because they don't realize. Now we say, how could they laugh at that? The truth is, some of us, really, we laugh at it. We say, God doesn't care about our sin. He still loves us. Yeah, it's true. But it's no laughing matter to God. Bible also says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's what I love about our God. His beauty, his holiness. How he's perfect, yet what did he do? He sent himself in the flesh. He sent Jesus Christ, his only son, to die for us. And he's perfectly holy. That's beautiful to me. God's holy. He's perfect. But some of us, it just doesn't change. It doesn't change us. A lot of times, especially when we're singing these songs, we say the words, but we don't mean them. We say God's holy. We know that verse. But we don't understand it. We don't comprehend. If we truly realize that God is holy, we will change. Because when you realize how holy God is, and you realize that you can go into his presence, you'll realize just how unworthy you really are. What happened to Isaiah? He fell down, probably before the Lord. Woe is me. I am undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. I don't know what his response would have been before this. I don't know if he would have said that. But when he was in front of the Lord, he saw his sin. He realized who he was. When you die, you're not going to just walk up to God and say, "Hey, God, how are you doing?" You're not going to do that when you pray. There needs to be some reverence. God's holy. He's perfect. He's set apart from our sin. Set apart from sin. So God's holy. Truly understand that. Now, verse 5. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Because he saw the King, he realized really who he was. Now, my first point is just that God's holy. But then I have two things that happened to Isaiah. And I think they should happen with us when we truly realize God's holy. Not just have the knowledge in our brain, but when we truly understand it with the heart. It made Isaiah realize his sin and want to change. That's one thing that happened, verse 5. Now, verse 6, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." A live coal was put on, not a live pastor coal, but a live coal was put on his lips. But do you see a verse in between 7 and 8 that says that Isaiah said, "I didn't deserve that"? No, because when he was in God's presence, he realized how bad his sin was. Unclean lips. Maybe just something small he says. Maybe to us it wouldn't be sin. You'd say, "Hey, that's wrong." But Isaiah said, no. When you're in the presence of the Lord, small sins are just as bad as the sins that we characterize as huge. He realized that he deserved that coal. Because he realized how bad his sin was when he was in the presence of a holy God. He didn't complain about it. He said, "I deserve that." The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's nothing good about us. That's what God looks down on us. God just says, "Look at their sin," or "Look at their righteousness. It's just filthy rags." It doesn't mean anything to God, because God's standard is holiness. If you sin, and you're not like Isaiah, and you don't care about your sin, if you think it's okay, if you don't want to change, I suggest that maybe you don't know who the Lord is. Maybe you've never seen the Lord. Pastor Seth preached a message to us at one of our teen activities when we were at the North Collins Park. I believe it was then. And he talked about our perception of God. The things that we do reflect on how we perceive God. There's a lot of people that we can go through in this room that you say, "Hey, to them, God is so big. You can tell by the way they live. Everything they do, they're always trying to please the Lord. They hate sin." And you can tell, hey, they must fear the Lord. They must know who he really is. But then some of us, we don't realize who God is. God's this small to us. And because of that, we're living in sin. Because we don't realize who he is. If you want to turn to Romans 6:15, Romans 6:15 says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid." Many of you, that's your mindset. Oh, there's grace. God has grace. So let's sin and he'll forgive us. But you know what? You're forgetting about something else that God has. Yeah, he has grace. And that's why many of us know we're going to heaven. I'm going to heaven because of God's grace. What he did for me. But you know what? He has something else. He has holiness. Don't use grace to sin. use holiness not to sin. Some of you just don't care about offending God. You're all set. I'm going to heaven, and that's it. God, just don't talk to me. Now, many of you may be thinking of people that are like that. But I encourage you, please just think about yourself. Because some of us might just have a little of this in us, and maybe someone else has a lot. But you know what? Just because they have a lot doesn't make you good. Don't base your standard off someone else. But we'll actually do base off someone else, but make that person God. If you have a little of that, if you just like you just offend God a little, and there's some sins you do, and you just offend them sometimes, you're just as bad as the other person. Sin to God. If you've broken one, you've broken them all the commandments. You must change. We must change our sins. We must stop it because of God's holiness. But once again, if you don't recognize how holy God is, you're not going to change, because there's no need to if you don't think God's really holy. Now, how holy is God really? How much does he hate our sin? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus Christ, his own son, why hast thou forsaken me? Because all those sins were put on him. His own son. What about us? What about just that one sin we commit? Well, I'm okay. Well, think about this. When does it ever get to the point where you say you're not okay? You say, okay, I've done one sin. I gotta let that slide. So then what about two? What about three? When does God stop letting that slide? Is it 15 sins? No, change your mindset. It's one. God deals with sin very harshly. Why hast thou forsaken me? His own son. Because of our sins. Are you going to change? How does God really perceive you? Will you give up your sin because you don't want to offend his holiness? Or you just want to live how you want to? And many of us really need to take a look at where we stand on some of these issues. When I look at myself, sometimes I say, yeah, I know it in my head, and this and that, and I want to do right. But sometimes we just need to get alone and meditate and really think about the things we do. Really think about maybe how far we are from God. Maybe we've left Jesus. Maybe we've left our first love. Maybe you just read through your Bible and you just pray, but God's really not there. I'd encourage you, take a look at yourself. That's a little off topic, but are you willing to change because of God's holiness? Now, the second thing, it makes you want to serve him. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Now, I don't think Isaiah said it like this. Here am I, send me, Lord. No. He realized God was holy. He realized that he had sinned. But you know what? He realized how much of a privilege it was to serve that God that he just bowed down before and said, woe is me. God's holiness should make you want to say, I want to serve that God, that perfect God who loves me and still wants to use me. What a great privilege it is. It is a privilege for me to stand up here and preach God's word. Anytime I get to lead someone to the Lord, it's a privilege. I'm so honored that the Lord would use me. I thank him so much. I never dreamed that I would ever be up here, but by God's grace, I'm up here. I thank him for it. So you know he's holy. But now will you serve him? Is his holiness enough to say, I don't want to offend God. He's perfect. I want to serve him. God has something special just for you. He has a great work for you. Now, if you turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. What wilt thou have me to do? When you're before God, when you realize his holiness, when you realize who he is, it's kind of hard to go into God. When you truly recognize who he is, it's kind of hard to go up to him and say, Hey, God, I'm going to live my life how I want to, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to make a lot of money, and I'm just going to do what I want, God. Now you say, that's crazy. Who would do that? Many of you do it. I've done it. If you realize God's holiness and who he is, you can't go before him and say that. Now some of you might say, wait, but you know what? I actually can do that. I suggest that maybe you really haven't put God where he should be. Maybe you really don't perceive him as you should. Because it should be easy for you to go before that holy God that wants to use you. You don't want to offend him and you fear him and you say, God, if you want to use me, however you want to, just use me. Paul. What was Paul's life before his conversion? But you know what? Verse 3, and he journeyed. He came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. The glory of God. When he saw God, what wilt thou have me to do? I don't think he just said that on accident. When he really met God, when he really saw God, our holy God, there was a change. He said, oh, I've been doing the wrong thing. And he said, who art thou, Lord? He knew. What wilt thou have me to do? That's a result of truly recognizing the holy God for who he is. God deserves our praise. He deserves our service, our lives. Because he's holy. Because he's perfect. And if we don't do those things, we're sinning against him. And if you realize he's holy, you don't want to sin against him. It should grieve you. It should grieve all of us. Now that's all I wanted to say. Please put that in perspective. Apply it to your lives. I really encourage you, when you're by yourself or when we have our invitation, think about it. Meditate about how you really perceive God. Do you realize truly how holy he is? The good part about it, if you don't realize how holy it is, guess what? You can change. You can. Now, as I said, that's all I wanted to say. So right now we're going to have Timmy Broughton come down and share from God's Word.